Welcome to episode 5 of Keep the Ball Rolling. We had an NFL Draft Edition, a live podcast recording at Scooters on Wednesday night. We just finished cutting up the audio from our two interviews. Our first one was with former Minnesota Viking and former St. Thomas football player Neil Gugemos. And the second interview was with NFL Draft expert Sean Zobel from 1500 ESPN Radio, talking all things NFL Draft. Here it is.
You ready to go?
Let's go.
Let's get this thing rolling, guys. Thank you, everybody, for coming
out.
Let's
go, baby.
We got the mics working. My name is Brady Hallmeyer. This is Gamiel Hall. That's our producer, Lauren Andrego. We are the Keep the Ball Rolling podcast. We're a biweekly podcast, one episode every other Thursday. We talk sports. We talk St. Thomas. We got some great guests for you guys today. We're going to talk NFL draft a little. We got a former Vikings player and an NFL draft expert coming on. Should be a good show.
Should be a fun show. First live show ever. First show with an audience, so we're looking forward to it.
Now, Gamio, I know you're a big Packer fan. I'm a Vikings guy. I couldn't get the Brett Favre jersey. I had a Brett Favre Vikings jersey I was planning on wearing.
So glad
today.
You didn't wear that.
I could not get that. But
I'm
got
telling you, there's nothing that makes me more angry than seeing a Brett Favre Vikings jersey. Anyone? Any Packer fans in here with me? Yes. Seeing a Brett Favre Vikings jersey is like, dude, come on.
Any Vikes fans in the house? Hey, I said any Vikes fans in the house? Terrible. So the draft is tomorrow. The Vikings have the 30th pick in the first round. We'll see what happens with that. But we're gonna bring on Neil Gugemos. We're going to talk a little draft later. Let's bring on Neil Gugemos first. Former Minnesota Viking, former St. Thomas All-American at cornerback. Everybody, Neil Gugemos.
Thanks for coming on, Neil.
How you doing? Thanks for having me.
So, Neil, you're one of the all-time St. Thomas greats at cornerback. 1983, you had one of the best games a Tommy football player has ever had. You had four interceptions to lead St. Thomas to a 10-7 victory over Hamlin and a 9-0 perfect regular season conference, MIAC regular season conference. Take us through that four-interception performance.
Well, it was a long time ago, but it was a big game. We were playing Hamlin, and it was for the conference championship. We were undefeated. I think they had one loss. Anyway, it was just a close game. It was kind of a crappy day out, a lot of snow on the field before we had turf, and just kind of got lucky second half. Actually, I was wearing some interchangeable cleats, that the molded cleats, and they weren't working very good, so I switched to the molded cleats, and it made a big difference. And I think I had three in the third quarter and one at the end of the game to seal a close game and came out on top. And, you know, at the time it was a big deal because we hadn't won a conference championship in like 30 years or something. So now, you know, they've won quite a few, but it had a lot of great memories at the time.
What's it like to pick off a quarterback four times? Was it the same quarterback the whole
game? It was. He's a friend of mine now, but at the time it was pretty special. I don't know. I always just was pretty lucky. I always had a knack for interceptions. In high school, I had like 24, and I finished my career at St. Thomas with 25. And
which is a record, the school record, right?
Yeah, at the time, it's been 30 years ago or whatever, but that was third all time at the time. I don't know. I just, you know, just when you've done it, it was just old hat. It's like that's your job, you know. No. And you go for the ball, and it seemed like I always seemed to get lucky, you know, on big plays like that. And on that particular game, obviously four. Was big because it sealed the victory in a close game.
Right.
So take us through your whole like St. Thomas career. How did that help you, you know, move to the next level?
Well, let's see. I actually came to school here, enrolled here. I didn't plan on playing football. You know, it was a good school. I was like any other kid in high school. It was kind of searching colleges, and I had been to one football game here. It was a game against St. John's, the last game my senior year I came. And we lost on a last-second field goal to St. John's. Ooh. But, you know, I wanted to try to play football. I had offers for track to go to other schools because I finished runner-up in the long and triple jump my senior year. And so I had some opportunities to go elsewhere. But I had already enrolled at St. Thomas, and I thought, well, I want to at least give football a try. Had no idea. I played nine-man football in high school. And, you know, they don't recruit too many guys out of nine-man. So... but I had a good camp coming in, and one of a couple freshmen to travel, I think, the first game, and started the second game, and, you know, kind of went from there.
So after your senior year finished with St. Thomas here, what was the fall or what was that spring like leading up to the NFL draft and your NFL free agency?
Yeah, that was pretty crazy. I mean, I guess I was pretty lucky. I had had success early, so I got looked at the beginning of my senior year. And in our first game, my roommate, who was a receiver, got hurt. He broke his collarbone. So I also got to play both ways. I played receiver and DB the whole season, and that helped me get looked at as well. I had success on both sides. So the football season kind of came and went, and then the spring rolled around, and I was in the middle of track season. And we had a really good track team. You know, we had won nationals my junior year, the first time team to ever win indoor nationals. So I'm working out with the track team because I don't want to let them down. Every point is important. But at the same time, I'm getting calls, you know, several times a week from different teams. They'll call you at 6 in the morning and say, we want to work you out at 8 o'clock. So it wasn't as fun on Wednesday nights going out like I used to.
Yeah.
I had to be pretty serious. And, you know, you'd have your track workout, school, obviously. I worked on campus a couple hours every day. And, like I said, these scouts would call you, and you'd put you through anywhere from a half hour to 2 hours worth of drills. And I knew, being a Division III player, that the odds weren't great that I'd be drafted, but there was the chance of a free agent contract. And so that's what I was hoping for. And, you know, then leading up to the draft, that's what happened.
Yeah, so there was that chance you were going to get drafted. You were telling us some stories before the show here about some draft stories. Can you tell the audience here some of those stories?
Sure. Well, the best part of that time frame was I got to skip school that day, class, because they didn't have cell phones back then. So I was sitting in my house up by Snelling and 94, or near O'Gara's, I guess. And
I
was
much better landmark for everybody.
I was sitting around literally waiting for the phone to ring. And, you know, back then it was a 2-day draft, 12 rounds. And they told me I could go anywhere from the 3rd to the 12th round.
Wow.
And I actually did get a call in the 3rd round by the Packers, of all teams. But they said, we're going to try to take you in the next round, and it never happened. So kind of the draft came and went that day, and then the next day I got offers from, 6 or 7 teams. And some wanted me to play wide receiver, some wanted me to play safety. So I ended up picking the Vikings because it was my hometown team, and I felt, hey, if I don't make it, at least I can say I tried out for the Vikings.
So you got to pick and choose where you wanted to go.
Pretty much.
Nice.
So you chose the Vikings. What was the training camp experience like as a rookie coming in from a D3 school?
Well, it was interesting. We had mini camp in May. I got out of school for that.
Nice. There you go.
And it was pretty cool. I was the only player who didn't like live in a hotel because all the rookies come in, they put them in a hotel, and I had to drive over from St. Thomas. So anyway, I go over, and I had a pretty good training camp the first couple days, but it was a lot to learn. Obviously, they always tell you how much faster the game is. Mm-hmm. The playbook's about that thick.
Yeah.
My defensive back coach was Pete Carroll, who you may know of, is currently the head coach of the Seattle Seahawks. And he was pretty cool. He helped me a lot and get started. Training camp rolled around, and the head coach at the time was Jerry Burns. It was his first year. He had taken over for Bud Grant, the longtime Vikings coach.
Yep.
And I didn't even know who he was. They introduced me to him, and I didn't know who Jerry Burns was. But we had training camp, and the worst part was the Vikings used to be the last team in training camp every year.
Yeah.
But first year with Burnsy, he decides to start like early July. So we had 6 weeks of two-a-days.
Jeez.
So that was a long training camp.
6 weeks?
Oh. Yeah.
There's no rules back then.
It's changed a little bit now.
I did 2 here at St. Thomas. That was enough for me.
Yeah.
So your 2 seasons, you were with the Vikings for 2 seasons, and then you went to the Giants. You had a little Tom Coughlin connection. Tom Coughlin, the Giants coach for a while there. He worked you out on the field here. Take us through that story.
Well, in that spring, like I said, teams were calling a couple times a week, and these people would show up, and I didn't know. They'd either be a scout or sometimes an assistant coach. And when Tom Coughlin came, he put me through, it seemed like, I think it was 2 hours of just throws out on the field. And it was, you know, like April, and the field was dirt. And I had a great day, and I thought maybe they'd sign me because, again, you kind of think, hey, I had a good workout, maybe there's a chance. But the Packers actually never did offer me anything. They called me, but they never offered
me. It's a shame.
But I was going to say one other story was when I worked out for the Vikings, they sent Pete Carroll over and another coach, and I was in the old field house. And I don't know, do they still have the ROTC here?
Yep, yep.
And they used to march in the field house like once a week or once a month. And I had to work out. I remember they had the whole end of the field house was full of all the ROTC, and they were all waiting like 45 minutes for me to finish a workout.
For you and Tom Coughlin to finish the workout.
They're all standing there while we're doing a workout in the field house. So again, some cool memories at the time. You know, you read about them these days. You see them on ESPN, but mine are probably pretty similar. You know, small town guy. I got an opportunity to play. So.
Yep. We'll have a few more questions. Two more questions, maybe quickly. Tell us your story from transferring. So you were with the Giants for your last year in the league, and then you went to Buffalo for the preseason. And you had your best preseason training camp, and then what happened?
Well, I thought I had a pretty good camp. I was running the first team safety at the time. They had a couple guys ahead of me that were injured, but I was with. It is what it is. It's in the NFL, you have to get some breaks. It isn't always how good you are. I mean, there's a lot of great players. Everybody at that level is good. And so you need a little luck or a few breaks to go your way. And I'll first start that off by my rookie year. It was the same way in Minnesota. I got lucky on my very first play, and I intercepted a pass for a touchdown for the Vikings.
That helps.
So that helps.
Yeah.
And the next play, making a tackle, I broke my thumb. So I was on injury reserve, and I kind of got the most of that year then to learn the system and kind of ease into it where I didn't have to worry about getting cut. And I made it my second year and in my third year with the Giants. And then my fourth year, I went to Buffalo because it was the first year of what they called Plan B free agency. Yeah. It used to be when you were with a team, you were on that team, they owned your rights. There wasn't much you could do. But the league gave in and they let the lower players actually could move. And I had a bunch of offers. And so I left the Giants and I went to Buffalo. And, I had a really good camp, but, you know, back then Jim Kelly didn't overthrow many passes in practice, so it was tough to make a good impression. And the guy ahead of me had been injured, but I don't know, he didn't even participate in camp. Him and another guy had blown his knee out, Steve Tasker. Some of you may have heard that name. He's probably going to be in the Hall of Fame if he isn't already for special teams. He had blown his knee out, and so they brought me in to replace him, but he ended up coming back kind of like Adrian Peterson in less than 9 months off of ACL and had a really good camp. So that made me expendable.
Yeah.
And once you're out, it's really tough to get back in. I mean, it's such a fine line. There's new guys coming out, just like tomorrow night in the draft. They kind of get excited about the new guys. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty tough to stay in the league.
And after you were cut, were you trying to get back in the league, or is it just I'm done now, I'm going to go move on with my life?
No, I did. I stayed in shape, and because I'd had a lot of interest, teams that had contacted me. And I give an example of the NFL. It's really weird how the next year I got a call from New Orleans during training camp, and they said, we want you to come in. And I said, okay, I'm all excited. They said, we'll pack for a month, and we'll send you the ticket in the morning. That's the way they did it back then.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, you know, I'm like, okay. And they go, well, you're a receiver, right? And I go, well, no, I haven't played receiver since college. This is 4 years later.
Yeah.
And I said, I've played kick all special teams and stuff. Anyway, and they said, no, we still want you. So the next morning I packed and I keep waiting for that call or go pick up the ticket at the airport, and ticket never came.
Really?
So I guess one of the veterans showed up for camp the next morning, and they had just started a new 80-man roster limit. So it made it tough if they were at 80 to get in. And so I was that next bubble player, and I never got in. So that was kind of my last opportunity to get in. You know, you hope the phone rings, but like I said, at some point they move on and you're out. So I could have played in NFL Europe for a few years, but, you know, I was engaged to be married and things like that. And, you know, at some point you just want to move on with your life. And I was pretty lucky to, you know, play as much as I did and have some stories to tell. So
for sure.
Very cool.
And I've actually known Mr. Gugamos here for a while. I played sports growing up with his son, Nick. So got any stories from those days?
Well, I remember him a little bit. Coached this guy back in grade school. But he was a good player then, and I know you are now. And I know you're took a break here. But a lot of great memories. I actually have video of this guy. So maybe someday we'll pull that out.
Everybody, Neil Gugamos.
Thanks
for coming
on. Appreciate it.
All right, so we have another guest coming on here, Sean Zobel, 1500 ESPN radio host and NFL draft guru. He actually went to St. Thomas. So welcome back, Sean Zobel.
How's it going, guys?
Just before we get into the interview, guys, start thinking of some questions. Sean's going to take some fan questions from you guys, your NFL draft questions, or he said he'll take questions on anything.
Anything.
Well, sports-related, St. Thomas-related questions. All right, let's go.
All right, so Mr. NFL draft guru, Sean Zobel, tomorrow's a draft. Who's going number one?
Nobody knows that right now. That's actually a good question. If I had to guess on it, I'd say Sam Darnold, the quarterback from USC. I think it's going to be a quarterback, obviously, but I think at the end of the day, they're going to go with a guy who's not very risky, and that's Darnold. If you go with a big guy like Josh Allen, who's 6'5", 6'6", 230 pounds, but can't complete more than 55% of his passes, I think they'll probably go with the safe bet with somebody like Darnold.
And I'm hearing right now it's between Darnold and Mayfield. At least that's what Adam Schefter is saying. What do you think about Baker Mayfield going?
I love Baker Mayfield, but here's the thing. I think Baker Mayfield's been used by every team in the draft this year as a smokescreen to try to manipulate to what they actually want. So I think at the end of the day, tomorrow night, I think there's going to be at least one or two quarterbacks that slide because – at the end of the day, the demand is only so high. And I think there's enough questions about some of these other guys like Mayfield or Josh Rosen that I'd say Mayfield's going to be a top 10 pick, but he has to find the right team for sure.
If you're an NFL GM tomorrow, who's your number one guy to stay away from? Who's going to be the biggest
to
bust?
To stay away from?
Yeah, who's the number one bust in this draft, you think?
At quarterback?
Yeah, we can go quarterback, sure.
I'd actually, believe it or not, I'd put Darnold as that guy.
Yeah.
I think he's the furthest away from being ready to play right now. Mm-hmm. And because of that, he turned the ball over more than any quarterback in the country last year. He looked great as a sophomore against Penn State in the Rose Bowl, but last year you really saw a lot of inconsistencies, turned the ball over too much, and he was playing kind of with a poor supporting cast. But I think realistically of the four, I know Josh Allen would probably be the trendy pick to say he'd be a bust, but I actually think his ceiling is so much higher than the other guys that if I had to say that one was going to fall out, I'll go Darnold.
So as long as we're sticking with QBs here, how many QBs are going in the first round? Because I know there's a lot that could go.
Well, I think the line is, 4.5 right now? I think it's going to be 5 when it's all said and done. The top four are obviously pretty easy, but I think by the time the end of the first round comes around tomorrow night, somebody's going to want to get a Lamar Jackson or somebody like that.
Right. Yeah.
Who that team's going to be is a really good question because I don't know who it's going to be, but I think
Patriots.
I don't buy it. I really don't. So. I don't think so. I think somebody like Baltimore or a team. Not necessarily the Saints, but I'd look at a team in the second half of the first round that needs a quarterback to groom. I think Baltimore is probably more likely than a team like New England.
Okay. And there's a difference between number one pick in the draft and the best player in the draft. So, in my mind, Saquon Barkley is the best player in the draft. Who do you think is the best player in the draft?
I think it's Barkley far and away. He's... the best way that I kind of, what you try to do when you evaluate players is find comparisons. The best way I can compare Saquon Barkley is that he's got the same size and aggressiveness and physical ability as Adrian Peterson did, but with a lot of the same lateral explosion that Barry Sanders had coming out of Oklahoma State. Mm-hmm. And when you compare both of those, the lateral explosion with the strength and physicality. That's why he's considered probably one of the best running backs in the last 30 years to come out of college. So, he's by far the best player in this year's draft.
Okay. So, Shaquem Griffin. So for those of you who don't know who Shaquem Griffin is, he's from UCF. He has an amputated left hand, so he has no left hand. But, he absolutely balled out at the combine. Ran a 4.3 at a 40-yard dash. 20 reps on the bench, really impressing GMs and coaches. What round is he going to go?
I was asked that question the night that he worked out and then a few days later, and depending on when you asked that question, you'd probably get a different answer. I think when it's all said and done, having gone through the process, I think between the third and the fifth round is probably where I would say. Okay. If you looked at just his base measurables or triangle numbers with the 40 and bench and all that stuff, he's a first or second round talent. But because there is no precedent for a guy playing without a left arm, there are going to be a lot of teams that are just going to say, we're not going to take the risk, and I'm not going to risk my job or career on somebody that doesn't have a hand, which you can understand. But I think there is a special player in there, and I think a lot of people can recognize that now that he's gone through the process. You know, I think what I said when he worked out was, I think he'll go at the end of the third round, right around where Maurice Claret went when he was a compensatory pick to Denver, right at the end of the third round. Teams like to use those compensatory picks that they didn't think that they had a few months beforehand on more risky selections, I guess you could say. So I'd say if there's a supremely athletic linebacker without a hand sitting there at the end of the third round, I think that's where he'll end up going with one of those compensatory picks.
And the Vikings have the 30th pick tomorrow night. In such a quarterback-heavy draft like this, and we've known Spielman moves all around on draft night, do you think the Vikings are going to trade out of that pick in the first round and move back into the second round?
Yeah, I'd say it's probably 50-50. You know, the last few times that they've had that late of a pick in the first round, he's made a lot of moves.
Yeah.
I doubt that they'd move up only because they're known to want to acquire more picks rather than give them up.
Right.
I think there's enough depth and holes where it's more likely that they'd move down. But that's not going to be determined until probably this time tomorrow night. Realistically, by the time they get on the clock, they'll have, you know, four or five offers maybe. And if there's a guy that they like there, they'll take him. Otherwise, it wouldn't surprise me at all if they traded down.
Gotcha.
All right, and the Packers, they have the 14th pick. I heard today that they might trade up to get more top-tier talent. They haven't picked offensive players since 2011, since they won the Super Bowl. Are they going defense again, and are they going to trade up? Who are they taking?
Well, as a Packers fan, do you think they should trade up?
Yeah.
For who?
I don't know. I just want talent. I want more talent. Anything to get us at the Super Bowl.
I think Green Bay is in a position where it's much more of a bigger picture philosophy. They've got a whole new GM, scouting department.
Yep.
Half their coaching staff is different. I think they want to use this draft as an example that it's a new era or a new regime that's in-house.
Yep.
And with that said, I think they'd love nothing more than to go out and get one of those splash players if they could go up and get Minkah Fitzpatrick in the top 10, that'd be a home run.
That'd be crazy.
Pair him with your guy, Clinton Dix. I mean, that'd be...
Watch out, Vikings fans, if that happens.
I think that would be the type of move, you know, maybe for like a Denzel Ward, the corner out of Ohio State. But, yeah, if they could, for the right position, defensively, I think you're right on there. I think I'd be surprised if they didn't come away with a replacement for Jordy Nelson at some point. But Green Bay usually likes going with receivers in the second or third round. I think a dream pick would be Tremaine Edmonds. He's a linebacker from Virginia Tech. He's a big 3-4 outside guy that can rush a passer, drop back into coverage, play the run. I mean, he's a freak athlete. That would be a great fit, but I don't know if he's going to be there at 14.
Okay, a couple more questions. We're going to ask you about D3 players. Is there a Neil Gugamos in this draft, somebody from a D3 school that could, not necessarily in the first round, but later on, do you have any guys?
There's a guy named Alex Kappa from Humboldt State. I don't think that's D3. It might be D2, but he's probably my favorite small school player, I'd say. What's interesting about, you know, just hearing his experience from when he came out as opposed to now is that nowadays the Division III level really does get picked over like a comb. And because of the internet and so many people, you know, doing draft-related things, it's a lot easier to find those guys as opposed to, you know, when he was coming out.
Yeah.
But I'd say, yeah, if there's a small schooler, Alex Kapp is a guy to keep an eye out for.
All right. Ryan Conley. I know you know Ryan Conley. Actually, I should add that Sean helped coach at Eden Prairie when I was there playing football. So you know Ryan Conley. He was my quarterback in high school. He now is a linebacker for Wisconsin. He's been balling out there. He has one more year there. This is for the draft next year, but is he on the draft radar?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a year and a half away or a year plus away, it's hard to say if somebody's going to definitively be drafted, but, you know, when Mitch Leidner was coming out of college and ESPN ranked him as a first-round pick going into his senior year, I can promise you that Ryan Conley has a better chance of being drafted than Mitch Leidner did at that point.
Okay.
So does that help?
Yeah, okay. That helps. Okay. Makes you feel good. Cool. He was my best friend growing up. Yeah. So.
I would be surprised if Ryan was not playing in the NFL.
What round would you say as of right now?
I mean, it depends on if he's running the 40 as a quarterback like he did back in the day or if he's running it as a linebacker.
That is true.
I think he's got a really good chance at being probably a second-day pick.
Okay.
You know, linebackers don't typically go in the first unless they're a rare breed. But a guy who's productive, who's, you know, what would it be, a three-and-a-half-year starter, I think, assuming he passes all the other tests like the combine and those things, he should, I'd say, second to fourth round, I think, is realistic a year from now.
Cool. All right, fans, we got time for a couple fan questions.
Yeah.
We going to him?
All right. Come on up.
Do you think Johnny Manziel will make a return to the league next season?
Ooh, good question.
By the league, do you mean the NFL? Yeah. No. I think Johnny's going to have to go to Canada and earn his way back into the NFL. I don't think any NFL teams are desperate enough to take on the circus. As a football player, if it didn't come with, viewership ratings that come with, you know, with Johnny, he's kind of dug himself a hole that he's trying to get out of, both off the field and on the field. But from a publicity standpoint, it's the same problem as it was when he was coming out of college back when I was in your guys' shoes. Not enough has changed on the field for him to be to move that quickly, I guess. I think he's going to have to go back to probably Canada, where there's a little bit different diameter on the field or different yards. But to answer your question, I don't think anytime soon. I'd be surprised.
Any more Fran questions?
So the Vikings just re-signed linebacker Kendricks, and they have a lot of other players on defense that they have to hopefully in the next couple years re-sign. How do you see all of that folding, and who do you expect that they won't re-sign?
Sure. I guess I can give you a little bit of inside information. I know Kendrick's agency, and from what they've told me, Barr and Hunter are the next two guys that'll get done. And my guess is they're still trying to make a decision on Stephon Diggs because...
You got to bring him back,
what's
right?
What's that? Well, the problem is that from an injury perspective, he's been injured every year since he was in college. And he's also going to be asking for money in the, I don't know, 13 to 15 million a year range, which is, you know, A.J. Green to Julio Jones money. I don't know if Stephon Diggs is that good of a player, but that'll be the difficult situation.
The Minneapolis miracle.
How'd he do against Philadelphia?
No bueno.
Yeah. All right. Any other fan cues? All right, we'll wrap up the fan cues. One last question for you. Lauren, take it away.
Who is the greatest of all time, LeBron James or Michael Jordan?
I think when it's all said and done for LeBron, he's going to be... If you take away the off-court brand that Michael Jordan has, LeBron's a better basketball player. And I think by the end of his basketball career, he'll have accomplished more. He hasn't yet, so that's why people don't want to answer the question, but... if you give LeBron the same off-court brand that Michael Jordan has, I think he's probably the biggest sports star in history. So, yes, Jordan's the easy answer, but I think when it's all said and done, LeBron will probably pass him.
Cool. All right.
We
Got one.
Nice. One more.
Let's go.
Is that what you're waiting for?
Yeah. Okay.
All right. That's all we got. All the time we got, Sean. Thanks for coming in. Really appreciate it.
Yes,
appreciate thanks for having me, guys. This is great.
Ron Zobel.
Good to see you, man. Thanks for having me.
All right, guys, we're almost done, but we got a few trivia questions. Some Chipotle gift cards to give out.
Chipotle gift cards.
Lauren is going to ask the questions, I think, right?
Yes. Here you go, Lauren.
How do you want people to answer?
Can you go down and bring your mic down?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's think back to Tom Brady's first days.
Wait, are we going to have people raise their hands or blurt it out or what?
You can let them come to you.
Blurt out. I'll try to
listen. What round was Tom Brady drafted in? This is not going to work.
I think I heard six. It's six.
Six,
right?
Is right.
Ding, 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 ding.
Pick 199.
Parker. He said six. I heard six over here first. All right, next question.
Okay, next question. Who was the only quarterback taken before Aaron Rodgers in the 2005 draft?
Who's
Irish.
That?
Right
who's
here.
That?
Irish, got it.
Notre Dame.
Got it. Alex Smith was the answer to that one.
All right.
Smart audience.
Now the grand prize question for the $20 Chipotle gift card. You can buy 3 burritos with this if you only get chicken or vegetarian. How many quarterbacks have Vikings drafted in the first round?
4, 7, 3, 0. I heard 4 over here. 4 is the answer,
four?
Right?
Do you know who
can
they were?
Can you name them? Can you name all 4? Can you name, how many can you name?
Christian Ponder.
Yep.
Tarkenton. Culpepper, is that one?
Culpepper is one. Tarkenton is not.
I had Tarkenton.
So we got Bridgewater, Ponder, Culpepper, and some guy named Kramer. I don't know who he is, but Kramer.
The more you know.
That's all the questions we got, right?
That's all 3.
We want to distribute out these gift cards to our
lucky
winners.
Winners can come up to the front and redeem their gift cards.
All right, guys, that's all we got for you guys. Thanks everybody for
coming.
Maybe we'll do this again. Got a couple more years of this show. These two are seniors, so
we'll be
done. We got one more show before the end of the semester, and then we're gonna get it going in the summer again, or I will keep it going. But thanks everybody for coming out.
You can subscribe to us on iTunes. Yeah, keep the ball rolling. Look it up. Subscribe. Give us a follow on Instagram, Twitter, Tommy Media. Do it.
Thanks, guys.